Good evening. Welcome to The Blues. I'm Lee Hay. On tonight's show, we'll begin the first half or so with a conversation Ron Esposito had with Stanley Booth on July 16th. Stanley Booth wrote a book called Red Hot and Blue, 50 Years of Writing About Music and Memphis. And during this conversation, you'll hear music from Mose Allison, Furry Lewis, Percy Mayfield, Elvis Presley, Albert King, Eddie Floyd, Otis Redding, and Booker T and the MGs. And after this conversation, you'll hear music from Big Joe Duskin, Ricky Nye, Ben Levin, and Professor Longhair on The Blues.
I'm Ron Esposito, and we're going to be in conversation this evening with the Memphis music writer Stanley Booth. And we're going to be talking about his new book, Red Hot and Blue. Stanley Booth is the author of the great book, Rhythm Oil, about Southern music. And he's written serious articles about Elvis Presley and Otis Redding in the late 60s, and won the Playboy Best Nonfiction Award for his 1970 piece on Furry Lewis. Stanley Booth knows a lot about Southern music and the Memphis sound, and we're really happy to be talking with you tonight, Stanley, on The Blues.
My pleasure, Ron.
Let's dive right into the book here, Red Hot and Blue. I'm looking at the contents of the book, and it's wide-ranging because it covers, you know, about 50 years of writing about Memphis music. Who would you consider some of the people that stand out? And if we were to tune in to Memphis music, who would we be talking about from the table of contents from the new book, Red Hot and Blue?
It's a very hard question to answer because I've been so incredibly lucky in my life. I've spent my life writing about people I love, the great jazz and blues players. But Furry Lewis, the great Memphis blues player, used to point at me and say, me and him just like brothers. And, you know, Furry was old and black, and I was young and white and stupid. But we were like brothers. And Phineas Newborn is the greatest musician I have ever known or will ever know. Mose Allison, the great jazz and blues player.
Ain't got the change of a nickel. Ain't got no bounce in my shoe. Ain't got no fancy to tickle. I ain't got nothing but the blues. Ain't got no coffee that's perking. Ain't got no feelings to brew. Don't have a dream that is working. I ain't got nothing but the blues. The band is swinging, the folks are singing. I just can't let my head down. Believe me, Pruitt, ain't nothing to it. Since my little baby left town, ain't got no rest in my slum. Don't have no winnings to lose. Ain't got no telephone number. I ain't got nothing but the blues. stomping, the folks are romping. I just can't let my head down. Believe me, Bridget, I can't get with it. Since my little baby left town, ain't got no house in Westchester. Don't have no Chris Kraft crew. Ain't got no Basie with Lester. I ain't got nothing but the blues.
Otis Redding, you know, I spent the last week of Otis's life with him. But somehow, to me, Furry will always be special.
Why don't you just tell us a little bit about Furry Lewis? You know, I know that Joni Mitchell even mentions him in one of her songs. I think Furry Sings the Blues. Why don't you tell us a little bit about Furry?
Well, Furry was from Greenwood, Mississippi. His mother brought him to Memphis when he was 4 years old. That would have been 1897, I believe. He went to the Carnes Avenue School for a few years. He was a part of that time when you could actually make a kind of living just playing on the street. And he was part of that generation that included many geniuses. Gus Cannon, Booker White was a little younger. But Sleepy John Estes, there was so much creativity. And none of these people had conventional educations. They just had innate genius. And Furry and I had many adventures. It was partly through my machinations that he became Uncle Furry in the film with Burt Reynolds, WW and the Dixie Dance Kings, which few people have seen, but is well worth seeing. It's very funny. You know, these guys taught me what little I know.
So, you know, when you talk about these guys playing on the street, it was probably a very common event, particularly down on Beale Street.
Yeah, and they would walk down to Beale Street, and Furry said, you know, in them days you could get a loaf of bread for a nickel, a quart of whiskey for a quarter. So they just walked and they took coins from passersby. And believe me, what they did was well worth the coins.
Why don't you come home? Pally, why don't you? I've been lonesome, baby, since you've been gone. My home's on the water and it sure don't like no land. Home's in the water, I don't like. My home's in the water and I don't like no land. Ain't but three women that I ever love in my life. Three women I ever love in my life. My mother and sister, sweetheart, and my wife. Thank you. I got a new way spelling Memphis, Tennessee. Got a new way spelling Memphis, Tennessee. Double M, double E, got a Y and a Z. If you catch me stealing, please don't tell on me. Catch me stealing, baby, don't you tell on me. I may be stealing back to my same old used to be. Baby, baby, try me just one more time. Baby, please, try me one more time. If I do the suit, you keep me in great long time. If I don't do the suit, you can start me down the line. If I don't do the suit, you start me down. But if I do the suit, you keep me great long.
First said, some people think the word blues ain't tough. I declare, if they don't kill you, they'll handle you mighty rough.
Hey, the all-black radio station, WDIA, I'm imagining that was a pretty influential and a pretty big deal thing down there in Memphis.
Well, in those days, the two black stations were WLOK and WDIA. WDIA was first, but all the black people listened to WDIA or WLOK. And it was not until my dear friend, Dewey Phillips, from whom I take the title, Red Hot and Blue, came along and started working for WHBQ. And Dewey used to say, "All right, good people." And he wasn't playing for white people. He wasn't playing for black people. He was playing for good people. And he would play a Sister Rosetta Thorpe record. Then he'd play a Piano Red record. Then he'd play Percy Mayfield.
You wanna do, yeah. You learn to love me or leave me. Either one you wanna do. I ain't lying, because strange things is happening. Girl, and something might happen to you, yeah. And if you know you don't love me, why don't you let me be? Let me be. I ain't lying. It's all that's better to be without you. Thank you.
DJs, which unfortunately were short-lived, the personality DJ. And Dewey could not cue a record without scratching it. My friend George Klein, who just recently died, his first job at WDIA was to keep Dewey from burning down the studio. But Dewey played the first Elvis record on the radio, played it 11 times in a row, both sides. That's All Right, Mama and Blue Moon of Kentucky. And in that evening, Sam Phillips had brought him an acetate. You know, nowadays, the FCC would put you under the jail. But in those days, Sam would cut an acetate, take it to Dewey. Dewey would play it. And if anybody liked it, they'd order it from Poplar Tune, Joe Cookie's place on Poplar Avenue. And the day after that evening when Dewey played That's All Right, Mama and Blue Moon, Kentucky, they had 7,000 orders for a record that did not exist.
Wow. Man, that is something else, brother.
Well, you know, I got to say, I have been at the right place a few times, and I have seen some history go down.
Blue Moon. Blue Moon. Blue Moon. Keep shining bright. Blue moon to keep on shining bright. You're gonna bring me back on my baby tonight. Blue moon, keep shining bright. I say blue moon of Kentucky to keep on shining. Shine on the one that's gone and left me blue. I say blue moon of Kentucky to keep on shining. Shine on the one that's gone and left me blue. Oh, well, I hit the whistle on one moonlit night. Stars shining bright. Whisper on high, love, say goodbye. Blue moon of Kentucky, to keep on shining. I say shine on the one that's gonna let me blue. Shine on the one that's gone and left me blue. I say blue moon of Kentucky to keep on shining. Well, I will shine on the one that's gone and left me blue. I say shine on the one that's gone and left me blue. I say shine on the one that's gone and left me blue.
Hey, I'm going to ask you, you know, you've been around, brother. How old are you now?
Would you believe the girl I'm going to marry was born in 1986? That's just for openers. She's from Carlisle, Pennsylvania. She lives in Chicago now, and she's helping me sell this dot-rotted book I have out. She was a Phi Beta Kappa at Vassar. I am romancing way over my head. My next birthday, I will be 78. But I can still do pretty much anything I used to, only it might take a little longer.
Let's ask you about another aspect of Memphis music that you talk about in the book. You have a chapter on the Memphis soul sound. Now, yeah. Just what is that?
I'll tell you, in those days, I was trying to get started as a writer, and I was doing magazine pieces, and I got a gig from the no longer existent Saturday Evening Post. And in those days, fax was happening. Albert King would come in and say, "Have no fear, the king is here."
I want to be your personal manager, babe. I want to do everything I can for you. I want to be a personal manager, baby. I want to do everything I can for you. Yes, I want to be right there beside you, little girl. When all of your so-called friends are through, if you sign my contract, baby, you know all your worries is over for you. If you sign my contract, baby, you know all of your worries is over for you. Yeah, I want to be your milkman every morning, your ice cream man when the day is through. I want to be with you, baby. So you can stay at home, you can rest for sure, little girl, that I won't let nothing go down wrong. I want to be your personal manager, baby. I want to do everything I can for you. Yes, I want to be your milkman every morning, your ice cream man when the day is through. That's right.
And Rufus Thomas and Carl Thomas was there. Booker T and the MGs and the Marquees were making those great instrumental records. And Eddie Floyd was doing Knock on Wood, and there were just so many great records.
Your love, you're better than anyone.
Well, one day I was talking to Al Jackson, the great drummer, and Al was not only a great percussionist, he was a very wise man, and he had perceptions about the racial meaning of what it means for black people to accept white people's music and white people to accept black music. So I'm writing my little notebook, and Al and I kind of got to the end of our conversation. I walked out under the marquee because, you know, the Stax had been a movie theater. And I'm standing under the marquee making little notes in my notebook, and a white Lincoln limousine pulls up to the curb. Big black guy gets out of the back, and I walked over and I said, "Hi, I'm Stanley Booth." And he said, "I'm Otis Redding." And I said, "Yeah, I know. You want to go in the studio?" He said, "Yeah." So we walked in the studio and we went into the recording area and we set up three chairs, two side by side and one mine facing them. Steve Cropper came in, and I sat there and took notes as they wrote, and ultimately that week recorded Dock of the Bay.
No kidding.
I mean, I was the only other witness. And, you know, I mean, as I say, occasionally I have been at the right place at the right time.
Sitting in the morning sun, I'll be sitting when the evening comes, watching the ships roll in, and then I watch them roll away again. Yeah, I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Ooh, I'm just sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time. I left my home in Georgia, headed for the Frisco Bay, 'cause I've had nothing to live for, and look like nothing's gonna come my way. So I'm just gonna sit on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time. Look like nothing's gonna change, everything still remains the same. What 10 people tell me to do, so I guess I'll remain the same. Yes, sitting here resting my bones, and this loneliness won't leave me alone. Listen, 2,000 miles I roam just to make this dock my home. Now I'm just gonna sit at the dock of a bay, watching the tide roll away. Ooh, I'm sitting on a dock of the bay, wasting time.
So, you know, when I think about Memphis soul sound, I mean, obviously, you know, Stax is right in there. And it's interesting because it seems like Booker T and the MGs were a lot of times the house band and, you know, with the added horn section. And it was a mixture of black and white musicians a lot. Was that true?
Well, I'm going to tell you a sad story. And I wish I did not have this story to tell. But they loved that story, and they were going to make it the cover story until they found out they were going to put Booker T and the MGs on the cover. I mean, I'm talking about the Saturday Evening Post. That was out of Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, supposedly. Then they found out that two of Booker T and the MGs were white and two were black. And they said, well, that's going to offend our Southern readers. We can't do that. So they put another cover on it. I think that is a terrible commentary on American history, you know?
So what was your relationship with Otis Redding like after?
Well, that week, we just got to be very close friends. And I want to tell you an amazing thing. In those days, you know, everything was so primitive. I had a little tape recorder that used 3.5-inch reel-to-reel tapes. And Alexis, my girlfriend, has been going through all these tapes that have survived from my past. And one day, Otis and I were just sitting. They weren't recording, and we were just sitting talking. And he and I had a long interview. It was the last interview he would ever give. And those little 3.5-inch reel-to-reel recordings survived. We have digitized them. They sound fantastic. They sound crystal clear. So I'm going to put them on, I don't know what you put things on these days, but Alex knows, and we're going to make those available to the public.
Bobby Rush. That is a cat.
Oh, Bobby Rush. I love Bobby Rush.
Testify, brother.
First time I heard of Bobby Rush, I was driving my car downtown, and I heard him doing the song, Working. I'll be working. I'll be wearing it out. I'd be showing up working on it, y'all. And I thought, God, this guy sounds fantastic. So it was must have been at least a year or two later, I was at the Memphis Blues Awards show. They love to give each other awards in this town. And, I mean, since I don't pay to go in places, I went in the back door of the Orpheum Theater, which is at the end of Beale Street. And I walked in the back door, and I saw this tall, handsome, youngish-looking man. And I said, "Are you Bobby Rush?" And he said, "Yeah." And I said, "Man, I love you. I think you are great. You're fantastic." And Bobby gave me his address in Jackson, Mississippi, where he lives, and mm-hmm. gave me his phone number. And it took us some years, but I finally did that long interview piece about him. And we're still friends, and he still plays here occasionally. And Bobby is so funny. You know, Bobby Rush makes faithful, true love appear scandalous. And to me, that is genius.
Well said, Stan. Well, you know, along the same lines as Bobby Rush, maybe, there's an all-around great utility guitar player, Marvin Cease.
Yeah, well, Marvin was a very determined guy. Of course, we lost Marvin. I mean, I have spent my life writing obituaries, and I hate that, you know, because I've lost so many friends and people I loved. But Marvin was somebody who was absolutely determined, and he very clever. At one time, he was the most popular artist on Polydor. I think his story is very moving about how the guy's father worked for would make his father whip him because he would sing in the field. I mean, that echoes slavery. It echoes so much of American history. Of course, the end, the last piece in the book is Red Hot and Blue about Dewey. And Dewey outlived the era of the personality DJ. But there was nobody like Dewey. And as I say, he couldn't cue a record without scratching it. You know, Rufus Thomas and I were walking down Beale Street one day and we were talking about Dewey. And Rufus said, "Dewey had no color." And that was true. I mean, so many horrible things have happened in this town, you know. But I was living in Georgia. I went back to Georgia for 30 years. And my wife died in 2014 in August. And I came back here. And at times I asked myself, why in the hell did you do this? I came back in October. But I have found that the racial climate has changed. And the reason it has changed is a very good thing about Memphis, something that I think we have a right to be proud of. We forgive each other. Of course, Dr. King was assassinated here. When I came here, it was terribly, terribly segregated. It was more segregated than Macon, Georgia, where I had gone to high school. And now it's very different. People tend to get along, and there's not that separation and resentful feeling that there used to be. There's really an atmosphere of friendship.
Well, I'm really glad to hear that. I've always felt there was something special about Memphis. It was there in Memphis.
There was African-American culture, but there was also Carl Perkins.
Yeah.
There was also Jerry Lee Lewis.
Elvis Presley.
Elvis.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we should not, in talking about Memphis, leave out Sam Phillips, because Dewey started out playing records at Dime Store on Main Street, and he actually played Frankie Lane's Mule Train so loudly that it caused a traffic jam on Main Street. And Sam went down there to see this nut. And Sam said, "Man, you got a platinum ear." And the way I know that is I got one too.
Hey, Stan, we're probably going to have to conclude our little chat, at least for the time.
Well, it's been a pleasure, Ron.
You're really a real treasure as far as music, culture, and humanity goes. And I just really want to thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Well, that's very kind of you to say that.
We've been in conversation with author Stanley Booth, talking about his latest book, Red Hot and Blue. For more information about Stanley Booth and the book, you can visit us at wvxu.org. I'm Ron Esposito.
left me, baby, I was nice as I could be. I bade you come back, but you wouldn't hear my plea. Gave you everything you wanted. I was the nicest guy in the world. Yeah, you think you're a woman, but you're acting like a little girl. Talk about me behind my back. I never did you wrong, baby, and you know that's a fact. Gave you everything you wanted. I was the nicest guy in the world. You're a woman, but you're acting like a little girl. At the party, I figured everything was all right. Next thing I know, you were screaming, "Get the hell out of my sight!" Gave you everything you wanted. I was the nicest guy in the world.
That was Professor Longhair, Big Chief Part 1. Ben Levin doing Little Girl, Ricky Nye's Battle Hymn of the Republic from the 6th Annual Blues and Boogie Piano Summit. And at the beginning of the set, Big Joe Duskin, Boogie Woogie Prayer from Cincinnati Stomp. Thanks for listening to The Blues on 91.7 WVXU Cincinnati and 88.5 WMUB Oxford. I'd like to thank Ron Esposito and Stanley Booth for their conversation. I'm Lee Hay.